Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good afternoon. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is the second week of July, and I shouldn't have said good afternoon because some people hear this first thing in the morning.
Yep.
Good day.
Yes, we are in the second week of July. It continues to be sweltering.
Typical North Carolina weather.
I walked out first thing this morning to go to work, and it was like 86 degrees and probably 120% humidity already. So it was just a really great morning to walk out to.
Walk out to like a
it feels like you're walking.
Can't even breathe. It's like a wet blanket.
When you open the door and walk out from the air conditioner, it feels like you're hitting a wall. I mean, some days it's physically heavy.
And let me just say that instead of having Juneteenth, they should have had a holiday commemorating Carrier, the guy that invented air conditioning. That's the man
we need oh my gosh.
That's the man that should at all times be immortalized.
You know, I often think about, man, you know, if I lived, yeah, you're right. If I lived in a time period that didn't have the air conditioning, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I cannot imagine living in a time where I've just got to be hot and I just have to deal with that. I don't have an option. There's no solution to this. It's just hot all the time.
I guess you were used to it.
Well, I was going to say, and then I think about it that, okay, if I lived in the 1500s or whatever, I didn't know what air conditioning was, so I wouldn't miss it. It was just something I had to deal with. But even then, I cannot imagine not having a way to fix this heat. And whoever that guy is, I want to shake his hand.
William Carrier.
Oh, okay. What a man. Yeah, where's this holiday?
Yeah.
My name is George Pate. I'm a financial advisor with the Journeys Group.
My name is Tommy Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden. Our phone number is 252-746-6785. Again, that's 252-746-6785. Or you can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that we are regularly rotating on it. It has our contact information as well as our physical location. It has links to our Facebook, our Instagram, and our YouTube channel. Different stuff on all three of those. So encourage you to check all three of those out. It has information about upcoming events. Nothing upcoming right now. I think the next one we're going to do is probably going to be a webinar. We're still trying to figure out, we're still trying to narrow down what the topic is going to be. So if anybody has a particular topic they want to hear about, shoot us a note, let us know. We're, like we said over the last few weeks, we're also toying with the idea of doing a once a quarter live radio show or for live questions, I should say.
But we don't want to do it to dead air. There's a couple of financial radio shows that are tragic because
they're just waiting for people to call,
begging for people to call.
Yeah, yeah. So
we don't want to do that.
Yeah, so we're trying to gauge some interest, see if y'all would be interested. So if you are, call our office.
Yeah,
talk to Kenzie and let her know, or drop us a note on Facebook, or just let us know. And then last but not least, it has the radio show podcast, Taking Care of Business Archive. So if you miss the show and want to hear about what we're talking about, God bless you, but that's the place to do it. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about one way to combat the economy that we have. Now, we are currently, regardless of what the federal government says, I believe we're in a recession right now.
I don't think that's a belief that you have. I think that's just a fact.
Well, but the people in Washington, D.C. don't will not admit that. All right. So currently you have a recession, whether you want to admit it or not. You have extremely high inflation. And you have a volatile stock market that tends more to be down than up. Have I covered everything?
On the economic side, yes.
Yes. You also have a government that I think everybody, including its, unless you're the most ardent Democrat possible, has lost total faith in it.
I don't see how anybody, even the most staunch defenders, can defend this.
Well, you don't hear much defense anymore. All right. So as financial planners, you as clients, is this something to be worried about? And the answer to you is no. Hopefully everything has been factored into this. If you're a client of ours, we factored in some bad years. But let's talk about something that people don't really think about. There is only, when you're talking about investing money with securities and that kind of thing, there's not many things you can control. All right. The stock market is a random beast.
A living, breathing creature.
Yeah, it's going to do what it's going to do. We base our projections on the stock market based on long-term results. In other words, we know that since the dawn of time, the market has averaged about 8.5%. And so in theory, if you put money in the market for more than 10 years, it's going to average 8.5%. We also know, we as in the people in the business, not you as in the consumer, that there ain't really that much difference in the different mutual funds and whatnot out there. If you took the top 100 mutual funds and you strip the fees out of them and track them for 10 years, they're going to be within a quarter of a point of each other. There ain't no difference, folks.
Yeah, because most of the time they're all investing in the same things.
They are, yeah.
It's really funny. If you look at mutual funds that are labeled growth or value, a lot of the time you're going to have something like 90% crossover, where two funds that are labeled differently are investing in the same, and this could be two different companies, but they're all investing in the same thing because they all realize that, okay, realistically, these are probably the best companies to invest in. So everybody's going to be putting money into them.
And so when your financial person calls you and wants to move you from one fund to another, there's only one person that's making a profit off that, and that's him, he or she, and the company they represent.
At Wall Street, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So knowing that, all investments, by and large, are the same with the exception of their
fees.
Right. So the way to make money, whether it's a good market or down market, is to manage the fees.
Minimize the fees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if these funds are going to do the same over the next 10 years,
why would you pay more?
Why would you pay 3% for the privilege of doing that if you could pay 1%? All right. So let's talk about fees today, because this is something that chews people alive and they don't know it. All right, in the investment world, and I'm talking about mutual funds now, not individual stocks, but in the investment world, there are two classes of mutual funds. There is a retail class, which is what 99% of you are in, and there is an institutional class. The institutional class was formed about 35, 40 years ago. Actually, more than that now. It was formed in the 60s, so 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was designed for institutions.
Yeah, the institutions, and when we say institutions, we're talking BB&T, Bank of America, the boys, states. Yeah, the big players.
When Bank of America buys an investment for Bank of America, not to sell to its clients, but for Bank of America, they don't buy a retail fund that they want you to buy. They buy institutional funds.
Yeah, they looked around one day and they said, we're talking potentially hundreds of billions of dollars of trades. And they looked around one day and they said, we are not going to pay 3% on...
We're not even going to pay 1%.
Yeah, we're not even going to pay 1% on a $10 billion trade. Because, okay, 1% of $10 billion, that's a lot of money. And they just said, we're not going to do that. You got to find something different. So the institutional mutual funds came out and cut the fees to probably 10% of what a retail fund was.
Now, let's talk about the difference between the two. A retail fund is a fund, like you said, you probably have it. Retail fund would be Fidelity, American Funds,
Vanguard.
Putnam, Vanguard. I know what they are now because we don't deal with them. Yeah.
If you've got a 401k, you're in retail funds.
Yeah. Yeah. A retail fund, that a fund typically has 80 to 120 positions. So that's 80 to 120 different stocks in it. They typically have a turnover ratio of anywhere from 75 to 150%. Turnover ratio being how often they buy and sell within that fund to try to get the best stocks that they can.
So anywhere from 3/4 of the funds to over all of the funds in any given year are being moved. And again, every time they do that, you're paying a fee.
Right. All right. And let's talk about that. All right. Now, a retail fund. You typically are paying 1% or so to a fund manager, which is the person that's managing the fund. You are paying 12B1 fees. You could be paying commissions. Typically, you're looking anywhere from on the low side of 2.5%, on the high side to 5.75% of fees that you're paying to be in that fund. Now, that fee comes directly out of your pocket. There is no way around it. And so occasionally we will talk with people that go, oh, I'm only paying 1%. And we tell them, you're only paying 1% that you see.
That you know about.
Yeah. Let's talk about the big hidden fees. All right. On Wall Street, there is a fee called the BID, ASK, A-S-K. And I'll say that, spell it, because I teach a class in church one night. Somebody thought I said something different. BID, ASK, spread. And every security, every bond sold in the world has a bid ask spread. And that is where you're paying the money, folks. Now, here's how it works. If you call our offices today and you go, hey, this is John Doe or Jane Doe, and I want to buy, I've got 50 shares of Amazon stock and I want to sell it. Then I go, hold on a minute. And I get online and I talk to our market maker, guys, the tallest market maker at Wall Street. And Josh at Wall Street says, we can get $2,000 a share for the Amazon. Okay, Josh, hold on a minute. Mrs. Doe or Mr. Doe, we can get $2,000 a share. And Mr. and Mrs. Doe said, whoa, that's really down. I think I'd rather buy 50 shares than sell 50 shares. All right, hold on a minute. Hey, Josh, yeah, she wants to buy 50 shares. Josh says, cool, it's $2,100 a share. Now, why is it more to buy than it is to sell? That is the bid-ask spread. Because Josh's company buys Amazon, in this case, for $2,000, sells it to you for $2,100. That's how they make their money. Every transaction on Wall Street, the Australian market, the Japanese market, every transaction done worldwide has that spread built into it. Now, how does that affect you as a consumer? If you've got a mutual fund that turns over 75 to 150% of itself, you paid that spread on every trade there was within that mutual fund. Who made the money? The people you're giving the money to. If you're dealing with a Merrill Lynch or an Edward Jones or whatnot, they're the ones buying it and selling it to you. The bid-ask spread is the biggest machine that cranks out fees to the financial companies.
The real irony is that Wall Street doesn't care whether the market is up or down. They just want it moving, because if it's moving, they're making money. So they if the market's down 800 points or up 2,000, they don't care either way. All they want is that you're buying. All they care about is that you're buying and selling. And so, you know, we hear a lot of people say, oh, let's talk about on the low end of the fees, 2.5%. People say, 2.5% is not bad. Over 30 years, that's a lot of money. And more importantly than that, okay, 2.5%, that's not bad. But all right, your portfolio made 6% this year. No, you only made 3.5%, because that 2.5% fee comes directly out of your pocket. Or even worse, if you're this year, your 401k is down this year, they're still taking their fee. So you're losing even more money. Now, fees happen. I mean, there's no way to avoid paying fees, because somebody's got to get paid for doing this. But what we're telling you is, be aware of these fees. And, you know, like we said earlier, all mutual funds pretty much are built the same. I mean, they're all investing in the same thing. So pick the one that's got the lowest fees. And this takes some digging, because this is not something, and this is the way the law is written. They do not have to disclose these fees to you. So on paper, you may say, well, man, I'm only paying 1% to this company, to this fund manager. And that's correct. But there's a ton of other fees they don't have to disclose to you. So it would behoove you to do a little bit of research, dig into this stuff, and find out exactly what you're paying.
Or you can stop buying retail funds and buy institutional funds. Now, here's the difference. Remember, a retail fund, which again, what most of you are in, has between 80 to 120 positions. An institutional fund has between 12 to 15,000 positions. They're gigantic. The most expensive institutional fund that we work with charges a total per year and this includes the Journeys Group fee as well, of 1.55%.
1.15.
1.15. Thank you. That's
even
right.
Better.
Yeah. So you can pay 3% to Fidelity, or you can pay 1.15 to us. So if you go the retail fund route, you're going to have to earn 2 or 3% more just to get the same return. Now, here's the question. If these are all right, Tommy, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Why hasn't my broker told me about this?
Doesn't make them as much money.
It doesn't make him as much money.
Because
if you think about it, if you call your broker and go, get me out of retail, get me an institutional, they'll do it. Now, they're going to try to talk you out of it, but they'll do it because they have to.
They have to.
And they offer it to you. They'll do it, but they don't like it. Because the difference is the turnover in an institutional fund is about 25%, not 75 to 150.
Yeah, and if I'm buying a fund that's got 12,000 different companies represented in it, I'm probably not going to have to do that much change. I'm probably not going to have to change it that much because if I'm buying that many companies, I'm buying pretty much the whole stock market at that point. And so if I'm buying the whole stock market, really not going to have to make a whole lot of changes here. So again, it doesn't make them that much money. One of the most common comments we hear is people say, "Wow, y'all's returns are so much better." No, because nobody. We're not better stock pickers. We're not smarter.
Returns are the same as the retail funds.
The fees are just half as much. So more of those returns are going into your pocket.
The best example I can give y'all folks is prior to 2008 when the market tanked. When we were averaging 25%, the market was averaging 25%. There was a tear for about 3 years where it just was tearing it up. The average return of the individual investor in the United States was 3%, although the market was 25%. And the reason why is because the average investor was constantly buying and selling. His broker would call or her broker would call and say, "Hey, you're getting 12%. This fund's doing 18%. Let's move to this fund." Every time you move like that, it costs you money. And so, and if you don't believe me, Google it. Look it up. The average return nationwide for the individual investor was about 3.5-4%, while the market was doing 20-25%. And that is because people were being talked to about moving their money around, and the fees were killing them. Absolutely killing them. Once you get the appropriate portfolio picked out, there should be minimal change. The only thing that should precipitate a change would be as you get close to retirement or you get older or something like that. But, man, we have seen so many people come to our offices that are just being abused without even realizing it because their person was saying, "Oh, do this, buy this, move that." And you don't want to do that. So knowing that, if you strip fees away, all funds are created equal. Did you get that? Did you find that anything?
All it's given me is what the S&P did. I couldn't find what an individual was right. Netting.
Knowing that, if you know that all funds are pretty much the same once you strip the fees out, then why would you pay a higher fee to get the same return? Because as George pointed out to you, net return is return minus fees. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, and so be aware of this stuff, and don't be afraid to ask your person about their fees, and don't settle for just if they try and don't settle for them dodging the question. You know, because if you ask them, they have to tell you.
Well, here's the scary part. This amazes me. I cannot tell you how many. People in our industry that when they were challenged over the bid ask spread, the 1% fee they were charging, that kind of thing, didn't know. Did not know.
Yeah, had no clue.
And when we pointed out to them what their actual fees were, they were surprised.
Yeah, because again, and this is the way that the law is written, probably 90% of these fees don't have to be disclosed. Now, they're out there, but they're buried deep in prospectuses and these really thick packets of information that no normal person is going to go read through. And they do that on purpose because they know that most people aren't going to care enough to go look. As long as they're getting money, they don't really care. But again, I mean, this is the kind of thing we harp on this a lot, and fees are the number one killer of a portfolio. It's not the market, it's fees, because again, all mutual funds created equal, the high quality ones that you should be investing in. Why would you pay 3, 4, 4.5% when you can pay 1.1%, and be invested in the same stuff? So it just, again, it all comes down to fees. Be aware of what you're paying. Be aware of the type of funds that you're in. Now, there's nothing wrong with retail funds, but just be aware of their limitations. And the limitations, again, come from the fees. Call up your person, your financial person. If you're working with an Edward Jones, a Merrill Lynch, and anyone like that, call them up and ask them about these institutional funds. And say, hey, if you got them, put me in them. And again, they'll try and talk you out of it because it doesn't make them nearly as much money, because it's a more efficient way to invest for two reasons. Number one, the diversification is massive. If you're buying 12,000 companies, that's pretty good. You're bound to be diversified. And number two is the fees. So you've got incredible diversification, which means you have to buy and sell less, which in turn cuts the fees down. Did you find it?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is old, but nothing short of incredible. From January 93 to December 2012, the S&P 500 returned 12%. The average investor got 7.5%. From January 2003 to December 2012, of the last 10 years, not the last 20, but the last 10 years. I'm sorry, from 93 to 2012, it was 12%, 7.5%. From January 2003 to December 2012, the market returned 7.5%, and the average investor was making 1.5%.
Holy cow.
And the problem is these people were buying and selling. And you cannot do that and make money in the stock market.
They were trying to beat the market. And as we've said time and time again, that's not possible. You cannot do that year after year.
Unfortunately, it wasn't so much they're trying to beat the market as they're – money person was trying to beat the market, and they didn't know any better. But just
be aware of this stuff
as a test. Yeah. Call your financial person, say, what is the bid ask spread? And if this is what they do for a living, they should know this.
They should
stuff.
Know that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is basic. This is not this really technical stuff. This is basic stuff.
This is basic stuff. So here's my point is, all right, we're having a bad economy right now, bad recession, inflation's high, yada, yada, yada. This stuff happens every 10, 15, 20 years. You can't control the stock market, but you can control how much you're paying.
You can control what you're invested in.
And why in the world would you not? If you knew gas was 25 cents cheaper on the other side of town, you would drive to the other side of town to buy it. Why do you not treat your investments the same way?
Yeah, treat your investments like you would any purchase you're going to make. Okay, shop around. Look at the fees. So, I see this shirt I want, and store A has it for $40, but store B over here has it for $35. Okay, would you not go to store B instead? Again, treat your investments like you would any other purchase, like you would any item that you would buy for yourself. Shop around, find the cheapest option, because again, they're all the same. I mean, for the most part, I'm generalizing here. They're all the same. So get the cheapest one you can.
If you have questions about this, if you don't believe it,
yeah,
we'll send you the articles. You can look at them. I'm not going to sit here and say something I can't back up.
Yeah.
Give us a call at 252-746-6785. Again, that's 252-746-6785. Investing money long-term should be boring.
Yeah.
That's the way to make money. It shouldn't be massive highs and massive lows.
You should almost forget about it.
Yeah, or you should forget about it. Yeah. But give us a call. We do nothing but institutional index funds. And there's a reason behind that, and we can show you why.
Yeah, this is the last thing I'll say. The type of investing that we do in the stock market, the philosophy has won 2 Nobel Prizes for economics, once in the 50s and once in the 90s. And they have been trying to prove it wrong for 70 years and have not been able to do it. And so these are people that are a heck of a lot smarter than we are. They've won 2 Nobel Prizes. We kind of sort of trust in what they came up with.
And the best thing I can say, in the 38 years I've been in practice, No one has ever not been able to retire when I said they could retire. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
And no one has ever had to go back to work after they retire.
And again, that was using these institutional rules. Oh, yeah,
not because I'm smart, because I'm using institutional rules. Do not let Wall Street or your financial person suck money out of your pocket that's not necessary. You can buy stuff. You can invest money on sale 24/7.
Yeah, it's a cheaper and a better way to invest money. In this case, cheaper actually is better.
Yeah,
because it's less money out of your pocket and more of your return. That's what it comes down to. Is it's more of your return that your portfolio is earning going into your pocket rather than the man or Wall Street.
Yeah,
that's what and it comes down to.
You want some proof of this? Let us know. We'll give you all kinds of stuff you can look up yourself and check it out. Appreciate you letting us ride home with you today, or appreciate you visiting with us today, as the case may be. I hope you make time for us next week. We look forward to visiting with you then. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and, as such, is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.